Good afternoon. You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK Community Radio. This is the fifth episode of Around the World with Dylan Forbes. I'm Dylan, and I'll be your host for today's show. Around the World is a podcast that interviews people who are deeply connected to geography, culture, and travel. We aim to share their interests with the community by telling stories and sharing diverse perspectives. I'm excited to introduce my guest, long-term Carbondale resident Lori Loeb. Today we'll be discussing travel, cultural experiences, and what it's like to live in a small mountain town. Welcome to the show, Lori. Let's get started. To begin, can you please introduce yourself and share a little about your background?
Well, my name is Lori Loeb, and I grew up about 20 miles outside of New York City. And after high school, when I went off to college, I just gradually kept moving west, and here I am.
Nice. So you mentioned growing up like around 20 minutes outside of New York City. So what were some of your most memorable experiences growing up there? Did you go into New York a lot? New York City a lot? Did you?
We lived away from the shore, the Long Island Sound shore. We lived in the woods. And some of my best memories are just cavorting around in the forest.
Nice.
And I was introduced to music then. And we did. The family went into the city. My parents gave me a lot of exposure to cultural events, which I'm forever grateful. And we would go into concerts and theater and go out to eat. But I do remember, as I was getting older, my father saying, "Everything is so expensive. I'm glad he's not alive now." I mean, he would be out of his mind.
Exactly. No, it's just, even in the past few years, especially here, everything's just gotten, prices have just shot way up. It's insane. Well, so when did you first get into Carbondale? Like, how old were you? What were some of your first impressions?
Well, I got my property in Carbondale in 1969 for next to nothing, and it's been home base ever since then. Now I have traveled and I have lived and volunteered out of the country, but this is home without question.
Nice.
And I was in Aspen for 10 years before I moved here. That was the idyllic 60s, and we were a bunch of dropouts and had high ideals, and we got to take it from back then. So I was in the valley for 10 years before I moved to Carbondale, and I originally came playing in the Aspen Music Festival.
Okay, cool. I imagine Aspen back then would have been very, very different than it is now. I mean,
Aspen had about 750 people population, and downtown was about four square blocks and partially boarded off. And there might have been one vehicle on a block, parked on a block. And there were dogs sleeping in the potholes in the streets because the only paved road was the highway going through.
That's insane. So, yeah.
And Carbondale, oh my God. There were only 600 people here, and it was comprised of old farmers and ranchers and coal miners and cowboys. And I mean, when I saw the changes that were coming up Valley and knew I wanted to get out of there, I looked at other ski areas in the state, but they were just ski areas. They didn't have anything else going on, and I wanted that cultural activity. And so I learned about this property that was up for sale here in town. In fact, your house is one of the houses that was on the property. And thanks to Wally DeBeck, I got an amazing deal, and I never would have been able to stay in the valley otherwise.
Yeah. And so when you first got into Carbondale, like, I mean, I know this is a huge question, but what was Carbondale like at that point? Like,
pretty sleepy. there were no paved roads at all. There was potato days. You know, that's been around for a really long time.
Yeah.
That when I first arrived here, the fire department, which, you know, operates with volunteers, they didn't have pagers back then. Mm-hmm. And so they blew a siren every day, or they blew a siren when there was a fire. And then the guys would come in. And there was a time when where the Smithy is now, the people who had a tropical fish store there, this is Carbondale, their house up the Crystal a little ways burned down, and it was because all of the volunteers were miners, and so they weren't, you know, around. And so they, in order to make sure that the siren operated properly, they had to blow the siren every day. And they would blow it at 10 at night or something like that. And it was awful. It was like a half a block away from me. Mm-hmm. And it was right over a house of an old couple. And it would wake them up and it would startle babies and babies would cry. And so this was my first activism in Carbondale. So I went around with a petition and, you know, to suggest, I explained why they said they had to blow it every day and offered alternatives like noon and five. And one guy said, well, the missus wouldn't want me to sign it. And then another one said, well, sounds like a good idea, but I'm not going to sign it now. But if you do it again, you come on back.
Yeah, those probably not, with all that loud noise, probably not some not the best first impressions at that
point. There was this spirit of community and where people helped each other and looked out for each other and worked together, you know, in collaboration. There was not a sense of competition here, unless you went to the rodeo.
No, exactly. No, that's nice to hear. It's just smaller town, just everybody kind of know. Everybody probably knew each other.
And these days, I just look around me when I go to some event and I go, who are these people?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how my grandparents and even my parents talk. They're like back at least like 30 years ago or something, you would walk around Carbondale, you pretty much know most people you saw now.
You knew all the dogs.
Yeah.
And still everybody knows the dog's name, even if they don't know its person's name.
The dogs are more memorable, yeah. No, that's funny. But I guess we kind of touched on it a little bit now, just talking about, like, how it's became so much bigger and just not everybody knows each other as much, but this is a huge question again, but what are some like the biggest differences between Carbondale when you first moved there and Carbondale now?
Well, population, 600 people versus I think we're over 6,000 now. Everything was small scale. We didn't have gigantic buildings or gigantic motor vehicles, except for, you know, a John Deere tractor or two. It was, I guess the term these days would be, was more chill. and there was, you know, great acceptance and support for one another. And, you know, from the old days of barn raising, you know, that kind of mindset was already here, and that's what made Potato Day happen. Mm-hmm. And it's that same sense of we're all in this together. Let's work for the good. Mountain Fair. You know, because the most meaningful experiences, the most enjoyment people mm-hmm. get is by volunteering at the fair, you know, when they go to the fair.
Yeah.
Because no, you're part mm-hmm. of it, and you're part of it, mm-hmm. its existence, and so you're, you know, family.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting to hear about that. I mean, just, I feel like, especially compared to larger cities, even now we still have a pretty good sense of community here.
I agree.
Lot of nice volunteering opportunities, just people helping each other out, just more of a still, even though it's gotten so much bigger, still more of like a small town community feel. That's really interesting, though.
At one of the Our Town One Table a few years ago, I sat next to a woman who, she was part of the flash mob, and she told me that she and her husband had moved here just a couple of years ago, days before Mountain Fair, and they went to, and they hadn't done a lot of research about Carbondale, and they went to the fair, and she said they looked at each other in shock, and they said, what have we come to? And they said there were all these half-naked people running around, you know, dancing with shirts off.
Yeah.
And then she said the more she got to know Carbondale, the more she understood, and then she found the flash mob and joined it, and she said she's never had so much fun in all her life. So, you know, we've had a saying here, don't try to change Carbondale, let Carbondale change you.
Yeah.
There are some people who aren't subscribing to that.
No, definitely.
Yeah, there's a difference. There, a lot of people are coming here under very different circumstances than when my ilk arrived. you know, many have worked out of this area and had, you know, urban salaries. Mm-hmm. And some work remotely, and so their salaries are as high as the expenses are calling for here.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't much work. Almost every young single woman or even coupled woman worked at the smithy, including myself. I mean, the smithy was like the saving grace for a lot of us to earn a little income. Mm-hmm. We didn't need much. And, you know, and we managed to get by. And because, you know, the cost of living was so different then, we were able to devote a lot of energy and time into volunteering and into community.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more like the whole population was the community. And now there are people coming, and they're coming for different reasons, and they're enjoying a lot mm-hmm. of what we enjoy, but they don't, I think, this is just my opinion, that in many cases they don't know the history, and they don't understand how much effort it takes to create something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And they come and they just want to enjoy the fruits, and they don't want to, you know, do the work for it. And that's unfortunate, because they're missing out.
Whatever.
And, you know, everybody says, well, you know, growth is inevitable. Whether that's factual or not, the way we grow, if and when we grow, continue to grow, is critical.
Yeah.
The way we do it.
Exactly. You still have a choice in some ways. I mean, there's some things that are kind of out of your control.
But we have a lot of choices.
Yeah, we do.
And, you know, and what, you know, the out of control stuff out in the world, mm-hmm. you know, certainly it affects us, but it's not right in our face as though it would be if we were in a city.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more options, and your voice matters a bit more. Well, definitely, actually a lot more than if you're in a lot larger of a city than in such a small, like, rural area. No, that's,
That is in jeopardy.
No, that is true. That is true.
Yeah.
But
we're still, we're very fortunate to have what's left.
Yeah, to live in such a nice, beautiful place. Yeah. It's, really thankful for that, at least. But, no, that's really interesting, just talking about differences and how Carbondale's grown, and also some of the things have just kind of stayed the same as well. I mean,
there's still that strong sense of community.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that. It's really cool to be a part of such.
And there's so many opportunities now for young people like this.
Yeah, exactly. Just to be able to host a podcast to talk about interesting topics.
Because there,
like
when
this,
I first moved here, there really wasn't a lot going on.
Yeah. There's definitely more to do, more. Yeah.
I got together with a pastor, and I think it was of the Methodist Church, and we created, when I first came, and we created a series of speakers who came in to talk to kids. It was a youth group, and you know, and give them some insight into the many different directions one can go and how you can live your life and all that, many ways.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, slowly there were more things.
Mm-hmm.
We brought, after we did the fair, we brought in a CSU theater troupe that did Antigone on Main Street in front of the Dinkle. And we did, and we used to do culinary festivals down in the barn at Sierra Mass.
Oh, cool.
And after a while doing these things, you know, we decided, well, we need to create an arts council. And we got so much support from the state, the State Council on Arts and Humanities. And there was a woman there who mentored me, and it was just invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really cool, definitely. Well, I think we're getting sort of a bit over our halfway point now, so if you're just tuning in to Around the World with Dylan Forbes, my guest is Lori Loeb, a longtime Carbondale resident and avid traveler. So far, we've been talking about growing up in Carbondale and how Carbondale's changed and stayed the same throughout the years. And now we're going to kind of shift the topic a bit, since even though we've had such interesting conversations about Carbondale and growing up and all of that. But now we're going to talk a bit about travel. So what first got you into traveling?
Well, like you, my parents took my sister and me to Europe for the summer when I was, I turned 12 in Munich.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, that ignited my passion. And one of the places that I loved so much on that trip was Cortina d'Ampezzo in the Dolomites in Italy. And so when I first arrived in Aspen for the music festival, I arrived at night, so I couldn't see anything outside. And in the morning, I opened my crimson. I was installed into the mountain chalet right up against Ajax. And I opened my curtains, and it was like I was back in the Italian Alps. And I knew from that moment, this is where I was meant to be.
Nice.
This valley.
Yeah. It's just such a pretty area.
It's,
in the mountains. Yeah.
So that's what got me going. And then another thing that got me going later on was that I was widowed at the age of 25. My husband died in a kayak accident, and I had always wanted to travel to Europe as a single woman before I married, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so after he passed, I I picked up and started traveling by myself, and I didn't go to Europe. I went to Latin America quite a lot, and then I also later I spent a year in Asia, and I've done some work, volunteer work in some countries. In fact, those are the countries that I've enjoyed the most because I've gotten involved with the people who live there teaching construction and use of solar cookers.
Oh, cool.
And teaching English as a foreign language. And that's made my time out of this country much more meaningful and deeper.
Yeah.
And gives me the opportunity to understand the culture better.
Yeah, that I feel like I definitely agree that some of the best travel experiences when you're making those raw connections with people there, you're actually maybe making a bit of a difference. You're getting to get new perspectives, meet new people. It's just such a nice experience. Yeah. What were some of those countries that you felt like the most attached to? And
Indonesia. I was there for 7 months.
Oh, nice.
Nepal. I was there for 6 months a couple of times. Guatemala. I was there for repeated times and for several months at a time. And there I both taught the solar stuff and I was a human rights accompaniment person in the jungle combat zone.
Oh, wow.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
And in Nepal, I was there for a long time and lived part of the time in a monastery and an old monastery and in a cave of the High Lama.
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean, you know, and traveling alone gave me the opportunity to just fall into all these amazing experiences.
Yeah.
Because people say, a young girl all by herself, let's take her in. And they were wonderful.
Wow, that's really nice. To restate it again, just so cool to have those experiences and really changes you as a person, which kind of brings us into our next question, which is very broad as well. But how do you think traveling has changed you as a person?
Oh, turned me right inside out. it broadens one's perspective, and it certainly broadened mine and increased my ability to understand other people's ways of life, and it increased my compassion. It increased, after the first year in Asia, I came back feeling as though I had been cheated out of a few aspects of growing up spiritually. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back from a future trip, I came back very grateful for what we do have here as a culture and constitutional rights. It changed me. I mean, it really opened me up, and it just had me, you know, I could look at other perspectives and in some cases move towards those perspectives and take some on. I mean, it totally changed me.
Travel. It just demolishes a lot of the stereotypes you have for things, and just it helps you get out of your comfort zone even in other aspects of life too. And just I definitely agree with that.
And getting out of one's comfort zone is the way to grow.
After so much travel, what do you appreciate most about coming back to Carbondale?
I love first getting into the valley and seeing the mountain. And just, you know, the relaxed way of life that we can have here. And the friendliness and the, you know, the sense of community and cooperation, friends, mm-hmm. my dog. Yeah, I mean, there's so much. Everything that I love about Carbondale is what I'm thankful for when I come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's straightforward. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, getting out of here and into the world is, it nourishes me. Mm-hmm. And then I have to come back and digest it.
No, that's a good way to put it. It's sometimes gets a bit old just doing the same with school and the year and when you get to get out and then, but you end up like craving coming back here too.
The first time I went away to Asia for a year, mm-hmm. when I came back, it was a challenge to integrate my new perspectives into my previous life here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had to pick and choose.
Yeah. No, it's definitely an adjustment coming, even from a smaller trip, just coming back here. And
Any trip for me is like freedom. I can step back from everything, see things more objectively.
Yeah. No, that's
get more creative in my thoughts.
Yeah, and then when you come back, it's a bit of a, I mean, there's definitely things I look forward to, like seeing family, friends, stuff like pets, stuff like that, but it's also a bit of a let down to a point, because you just feel a lot.
And then wondering when your next trip is
going to be. Already getting ready for it.
No. Be here now.
Yeah, I know that feeling, definitely. Well, we're pretty much to the end of it, but do you have anything else to add at this point?
Well, thanks for having me here.
Of course.
For giving
Thank
me
you
the
for...
opportunity to share some of my perspectives. And I'm just tickled that you're doing this and that you have this opportunity and, you know.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming. This has been such an interesting conversation. If that's it, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Lori, thank you so much for joining us on Around the World today. And thank you all for listening. Have a great day.